Spirit and that you impart truths to us, that you plant the word in us, that you graft it into us, Lord, that we might grow. Lord, because we desire to become mature sons and daughters of God, and that's my desire for each one of us here, Lord, that we would grow to be mature in our walk with you, that we wouldn't be tossed by the winds of circumstance and the winds of doctrine and knocked back and forth by everything that comes along, but that we would be stable and steadfast in our walk with you. Lord, let our lives be a walk with you that's as straight as an arrow flies. Know that we hit the destination, the target, the bullseye that you have for us, that we understand your purpose for our lives. And so tonight, I thank you for the anointing. I ask you for the equipping of your spirit to teach. Give me clarity of thought and speech, and just take us through this subject, one verse and one item at a time, and build precept upon precept, line upon line, and establish us in your word. I thank you, Lord, and my greatest desire, Lord, is that you be glorified and lifted up tonight and in our lives completely, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So on page 14, you had a diagram, and I'll go ahead and put that up again for those who don't have that with them. Actually, before I put the diagram up, we began with a scripture last week. If you remember, I said that much of Christianity and many people just know that we are a body, and that then there's that unseen part of us, which some call soul and some call spirit. But the Bible differentiates between these, that there's a difference between soul and spirit. And this one scripture alludes to that when Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Now, that's a statement right there, how powerful the word of God is. And as you receive it, it's going to do something in your life. And it is going to divide, or piercing, even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God does this in your life. It pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit. And I know some of you, maybe this is new to you, and you're thinking, I don't know that I entirely understand this yet. That's okay. I want you to get grounded in it. I want you to understand that the word of God says that there is a division of soul and spirit. And so, Richie, if you'll put the next overhead up that we used last week, and we'll keep it up for a little while. There's only one more after that tonight. So you can actually sit down for a little bit if you want to, because we'll leave this one up for a while. I want you to repeat after me as we did last week, and I'll say it one time through, and then I'll break it down and you repeat after me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. This is a truth that we find in the Word of God. Now, last week we talked about these three parts. The Spirit is the innermost part of man. God breathed into man the breath, or the Spirit, the wind in the Hebrew of life, and man became a living soul. And so when you look into this, you find, you've already filled this out in your workbook, but here it is again before you. The Spirit is, each part of you has a certain relationship to God, to the world, and to yourself. The Spirit, you know, that before we're talking about being born again, that Spirit means just the spirit of man. You have a spirit that was created when God breathed into you the breath of life. When you're born again, that spirit, which had been because of sin, it was cut off from God. The Bible says you were dead in trespasses and sins. That's speaking of your spirit man. And so when you were born again, that was made alive by God, and it was made a new creation in Christ. Your body was not made a new creation in Christ. Amen? I know mine wasn't, and I know that most of you will testify to that. And your soul wasn't made a new creation in Christ. Your soul is becoming you, and that's your mind, your will, and your emotions, primarily. And your mind is being renewed in the Word of God. It's a process, isn't it? When you were born again, you got on fire, you were excited, you loved the Lord, you wanted to serve Him, and you just had victory every day, and then after a while, you found that there were old habits, there were old patterns of behavior, there were things in you that really had not changed. And you said, "Man, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was born again. I thought the Word of God says that if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation and all things have passed away." And so you begin to feel defeated. You don't understand why you can't seem to walk this walk. And it's because your spirit was made a new creation in Christ, made whole, made perfect in God, has the righteousness of Christ. It was born again. But your soul wasn't born again. It's being sanctified. It's being renewed by the Word of God. It has to come in line with the Spirit. You'll see this again in a few moments. God designed man to live life from the inside out. In other words, the Spirit is supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God, and that is what's supposed to be done in it. To have a Spirit-filled life and a Spirit-led life is that the Spirit expands. It grows as you feed yourself the Word of God. The Spirit matures and grows. The soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, which went after their own ways, they're self-centered, self-oriented, they begin to yield. You bring them by an act of your will to obedience to the Spirit of God, and your soul and your spirit begin lining up and coming into union with one another. So, again, the Spirit is the part of you that's God-conscious. We established all this last week. I don't want to spend too long on it, but you don't commune with God in your mind, believe it or not. Now, this may get to be a real technicality, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it is Spirit that speaks to Spirit. God communes with your spirit, and He uses your mind as an agent in the process. But the Bible clearly teaches that Spirit speaks to Spirit. It is the part of you that is indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, and it's the part of you that has fellowship and communion with God. The soul is self-conscious. Remember, the Spirit is God-conscious. The soul is self-conscious. Your mind, your will, your emotions. And it's being renewed by the Word of God. We'll just leave that for right now. And we'll come to this tonight. I'll tell you that while we're all like this at one point or another, the goal is to not be soulish. And you'll understand that in a moment. We don't want to be soulish. We want to be what the Bible calls spiritual believers. The body is world-conscious. It's the part of you that relates to the world around you. It's purchased, but it's not redeemed. And we studied that last week. It will be, we await the adoption and the redemption of our bodies, the Bible says. It's been purchased by Christ, but the redemption's not complete. There's a glorified body that awaits us. So now, if you're new tonight and you haven't seen this before, at least maybe that at least lets you know where we are. Those that were here last week, it refreshes your memory. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. That body is a tent. It's a tabernacle, the Bible calls it. For some it's male, for some it's female. The spirit is not male or female. The body is male or female. The soul is not male or female. The body is male or female. And so that gives you a little understanding. We're not doing the subject on women and ministry and all of that tonight, but I want you to turn to Galatians 3:28, which is an important part of that study. Galatians is right before Ephesians in the New Testament. Galatians 3:28, you all know this verse. Many of you know it by heart. But I want you to see now where it applies, what it applies to. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, this is true of your spirit. This is true of your spirit. It's not true of any other part of you. This is true of your spirit. Your spirit is neither male nor female. It is neither Jew nor Greek. It is neither slave nor free. Why did I not say the soul? Because even the soul technically isn't male or female. Your thought processes, everything about you, your emotional makeup, it's who you are. And so the spirit that God fills and redeems is neither male nor female, but your mind is still working according to the way that you have lived, the patterns of your life, who you are. Maybe suppose you were in some country and you were a slave until God does a complete work in you, actually until you're totally set free from this body and you're given your glorified body and your totally perfect mind, until it's totally renewed in Christ. You still may think sometimes like a slave. And as Christians, a lot of times we're in bondage to different things. You may think like an American, or you may think like a Mexican, or you may think like a Chinese, or you may think like these various things. So these cultural aspects of our life affect our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. But our spirit is not Spanish. Our spirit's not English. Our spirit's not Italian. Our spirit is Jesus-filled and breathed in to us by God. It's one, no matter where we find ourselves on this planet. And the rest of that verse says we are all one spirit in Christ. Amen? So in the spirit, I'm not male or female. And that's how, when you understand that the spirit is where ministry comes forth. It's The Spirit is where you're anointed. It's where the Holy Spirit resides. And who brings forth ministry? The Holy Spirit does. So if the Holy Spirit brings forth ministry out of a spirit that's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, it's up to God who He wants to anoint. And He's not looking at the tent. He's looking at the Spirit inside of the vessel. Amen? That is where ministry flows from. A lot of people don't understand this when they talk about women and what Paul says and the words of Paul and all of these things. They don't understand that when God begins to move and to minister through a person, He's not ministering through who they are on the outside. He's ministering through the inside, through the spirit man. God speaks or communes with the spirit, spirit to spirit. We said last week, you cannot touch your spirit through natural means. You can't understand your spirit through natural means. You know how you feel. You know whether you're hurt. You know whether you're angry. Those are all things in your soul. And you know if your body hurts or if it's tired or if it's weary. But you can't apprehend the things of your spirit except through spiritual means that God provides. And that is by the Spirit and by the Word of God, as we talked about last week. You can't understand. You can't evaluate the Spirit by natural means. In other words, you can't feel whether you're spiritual or not. You can't feel necessarily whether you're in the... You can't tell by your feelings for sure whether or not you're in the presence of God. Many people say, oh, I feel the presence of God. If you're in the presence of God, you may well feel the presence of God because there's an overflow from the Spirit into your soul. But many people feel something and think that they're in the presence of God or think that they're having a spiritual experience. And we'll come back to that in a few moments. You can't determine spiritual things by your feelings. They are spiritually discerned, the Bible says. The Word of God divides soul and spirit, and it shows you which is which. It discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart so that you can know, am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking as a soulish man or woman? Proverbs, don't turn there, but Proverbs 20:27 has an interesting statement in the Old Testament. The Spirit of man, now keep this little diagram in mind, the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the heart. The Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God uses the Spirit. He doesn't use your feelings, your mind. You don't determine things through your mental faculties. You may use your mind in cooperation to read the Word of God, but these things are only spiritually understood or spiritually discerned, the Bible says. That's why only a born-again person can understand the Word of God. You hear people say, well, I read the Word of God and I don't understand it at all. I'm talking about an unsaved person. Well, they can understand it. They might get some history out of it. They may get some arguments out of it. But they can't understand the spiritual realities because they don't have the apparatus. You don't have the apparatus until your spirit is born again and anointed by the Spirit of God and made open in communion with God, because spirit speaks to spirit. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The natural man, the unborn again person, can't discern the spiritual things of God. Are you with me so far? So another way to say this tonight is one third of your salvation is complete. Your spirit is saved. Your soul, and I can find you scriptures, I'm not going to do this tonight, where it says that we are being saved. Your spirit is saved. It's born again, indwelt by the Spirit of God. Your mind is being renewed and being saved. It is being, because the word saved in the Greek, it means to be made whole. To be made whole by the Spirit of God, to be healed and made whole. And so your mind and your will and your emotions, which were, if you want to put it this way, were damaged by the things of this world and by Satan's tracks in your past, it's being healed and it's being set free and it's being brought into line with the Spirit of God which dwells deep inside of you. So you're being saved and made whole in your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your body will be saved and made perfectly whole when we see Jesus face to face. Amen? You know, somebody asked me last week, and I'm not a joker in the pulpit, but somebody asked me last week after class about the glorified body, and I said, you know, I've always heard this old joke, when we get to heaven, we're going to find that our glorified body really weighs 325 pounds, and we fought it all of those years trying to diet. Well, anyway. And so we said last week, the Bible says all things are made new. And yet we say, that's not my experience. Well, where is everything made new? It's made new in your spirit man. Your redeemed spirit is righteous. Your redeemed spirit is for God. It's always for God. It's born again. The Spirit of God indwells your spirit. And when you don't want to pray, and you're tired, and you don't want to honor a commitment you've made, and all of these things, that's your old soul nature still wanting to be dominant in your life and not yield to the Spirit of God. Jesus said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's not just talking about the body. It's talking about that flesh nature, the soulish nature in man. We also ended last week talking about that the soul is where blockages occur. When you want to flow with God and be in right relationship with God and move in the Spirit of God and walk in faith, the Spirit, that's why the diagram has the Spirit down in the deepest part of man. The Spirit is released through the soul. It affects the soul. If the Spirit, why do I say that? Let me back up, because some of you are saying, well, that's a diagram, and I discussed that last week too. You can't totally put the Word of God into diagrams and spiritual realities into diagrams. But Jesus said that he who believes out of his innermost being, would you agree that innermost means the deepest? Out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So your innermost being is your spirit man, indwelt and filled with the Spirit of God. Out of that is going to flow rivers of living water. How many of you want the Spirit to flow out of your life to other people? Amen? How many of you want to have a word from God in due season? How many of you want to be led by the Spirit and that there's an overflow out of your life that touches other people supernaturally? Listen, church, you can't do anything for the kingdom of God out of your soul area. You can reason with a person, with their mind, in their soulish nature. You can reason with them all day long. But unless the Spirit of God takes the word, listen, it's a supernatural thing. Unless you're in the Spirit of Christ, unless He takes that word from your spirit, unless it's a living water coming forth out of the innermost part of your being, and it comes through, sure, it uses your mind. He uses your soul in order to speak it, bring it forth with your own personality and your words. But it comes from spirit, because the Bible says spirit speaks to spirit. So even when God is using you, when I'm talking to you, when I'm preaching on Sunday morning, if anything is ever really accomplished, if somebody comes to the altar and they're on their face, listen, two things can happen, and I'm spending more time on this than I intended to, but you need understanding in this. You can have a dozen people at the altar on Sunday morning, and you can have a dozen people weeping their eyes out over sin and regrets and all of these things and believing that God is dealing with them. But unless God has taken the word from the Spirit that I'm speaking, the Spirit of God takes the word of God and brings it into their spirit, unless they really hear it in the depths of their being and their hearts are changed, they can receive it in their soul. They can be sorry in their soul area for their sins. They can regret what they have done. They can even weep tears, because tears come from your emotions, which are in your soul area. But if it doesn't produce a change down deep, deep, deep in the innermost part of their being, then the Spirit of God hasn't done a work in their life. Spirit speaks to spirit, no matter how you're looking at it. My mind doesn't speak to your spirit. Spirit of God in me, supernaturally, and same thing with you. I'm not talking about me. Bobby says something to Shirley, and it happens to just touch her in the depths of her spirit. And God, and she realized, God has spoken to me. It's because the Lord has taken something where He indwells Bobby by His Spirit, and in her spirit, He brings forth something, a river of living water. Something comes forth, and He speaks something that touches Shirley in the depth of her spirit, and a supernatural work of God takes place. Spirit speaks to spirit. Okay? So the soul is where blockages occur. The Spirit comes forth through the soul. Rivers of living water come forth through who we are. And if our soul is, if our soul nature is dominant, so now we get down to who we are. If I'm an angry person, and I'm not letting the Spirit of God deal with me, and I've not yielded that anger to the Lord, and I'm uptight and I'm angry, but I'm wanting to minister life to somebody, and the Spirit can't flow freely through anger and touch anybody. And so the soul becomes a valve. And the soul shuts off the flow of the Spirit because we have the work of the enemy taking place in our soul area. Are you with me? The soul comes under the lordship of Christ as the mind is renewed through the Word of God. Spiritual realities in your spirit are determined and they are made real and they are yielded to. A work happens in your spirit as you pour the Word of God into your life as you meditate on the Word of God. You receive the Word of God in your heart of hearts, your spirit, and it does a work in you, and you yield. You yield, and you say, Lord, I can't do this in my strength, but the Spirit of God does a work inside of you, and He keeps changing you. And He changes your soul so that your mind begins to line up with the thoughts of God, so that your emotions don't rule you, but they line up with what God is saying. And you understand when the emotions are out of line that they're trying to lead you. Now, I'm talking about some of you. I'm talking about all of us. When you can't seem to do this thing and you're angry or you're upset or you're depressed and you're crying and you're up here one day and you're down here the next and you say you're wanting to walk the walk and today you're on the floor crying because God has deserted you and tomorrow you're on the mountaintop and you have goosebumps, that is all soulish. It is soulish experience. And you're not yielding to the Spirit of God and letting the Word of God do the work in your mind. When the Word of God renews your mind so that you think the thoughts of God and you yield your emotions to the Spirit of God and your will lines up with the will of God, then your spirit and your soul are teamed up together and 2 out of 3 wins. Your body will follow along. A majority always wins. If you let your soul and your body rule, and you do what you want to do out of your own thoughts, your own thinking, your own will, your own ways, your own emotions rule, your body will follow that and you'll have a defeated spirit. And your spiritual life will not be one of victory. And we're also not going to turn here, but if you're making notes, Hebrews 4:2 talks about, it speaks of the Israelites, how they didn't walk in victory because they knew the Word of God, but the Word wasn't mixed with faith. So it takes the Word of God being applied to your life by faith for your spirit to rule and for the Spirit of God to rule within your spirit. Remember, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in your redeemed spirit. I'm wanting to save some time here. Write down Romans 12, 1 and 2. I think we did it last week. It speaks of the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing, you all have heard that before, that we are renewed in our minds. That word renewed is the word that we get metamorphosis from. And what it means is like when you see the cocoon and that cocoon falls away, the butterfly emerges, a completely new creation. Well, when we begin to let our minds be renewed in the Word of God, okay, I'm going to back up again. You have to repeat these things. Your spirit is already redeemed when you're born again. When you're born again, it gets redeemed. And it's made whole before God because Christ lives in you. It's your soul that has to be changed. It's your thoughts, your feelings, and your will. And as your will is renewed and your mind is renewed, it's transformed, it is metamorphosized. Just like a new creation coming out of a cocoon in time, you are totally a new creation. You think differently than you used to. You act differently. Your feelings begin to line up with the Word of God. They don't rule you. They're being brought in line with the Spirit that's within you. And so spirit and soul become like what was intended for Adam in the garden, which we will get to. So on page 14 again, at the top, because we didn't do this last week, the section began with the attributes of man. We've already studied the attributes of God. Man was created in the image of God. He is triune. God is triune. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man is triune, body, soul, and spirit. Man is a triune being. He is a spirit. He has a soul. He inhabits a body. And then I have C there, the condition. That shouldn't be conditional. The condition of man after the fall. You see, when God created man and He breathed into him the breath of life and man became a living soul, everything was there for Adam to be in perfect, right relationship with God. His soul and spirit were in perfect union and harmony with one another. He could commune with God in his spirit, and his soul was in perfect alignment with that. There was nothing in his soul that hindered his walk with God. Now, we'll come back to that in a moment. If you look on page 15, those of you that don't have the book, that's okay. Just listen to this as we go through it. Life can be lived on three planes. There are three planes that you can live your life on. Natural, carnal, or spiritual. if you're filling in those blanks. Natural, carnal, or spiritual? What are the characteristics of the natural man? Now, we read about this when we read in 1 Corinthians last week, that the natural man doesn't receive the things of God, he cannot. And then we talked about the spiritual man and how God speaks spirit to spirit. We're not going to go back and read that again. I've just summarized these for you. You can go back and study them. The natural man is the unsaved man. When the Bible speaks of the natural man, now sometimes we act like a natural man. You'll see that in a moment when we talk about carnality. But the natural man is not born again. He cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't have the apparatus. He hasn't been born again in his spirit, okay? His spirit is cut off from God. So those are listed there. He has immortal life. He's going to live forever somewhere, whether it's heaven or hell. He has immortal life, but not eternal life. He is not saved. He is led. I changed this. He is led by his body, but his soul and spirit are dead to God. And that's true, but I think he is truly led by his soul. I think he's led by his soul, which hasn't been renewed. He's led by self. He's not so much led by his body. Sometimes I've been studying this over the years. I've thought about this many times because the unspiritual person, and especially the natural man that's not even born again, you say, what is he led by? And I know that we have bodily urges and things that lead us astray sometimes. But I don't believe that we ever do those things without a thought. Without a thought. I know that there's that, there are instincts, there are all these things. But for us to do wrong, I believe we think and we follow. Yes, we may give in to bodily desires and things that are out of line with the will of God, but it's still our soul area that is ruling. We decide to do it. We're not forced to do it. We decide to do it. And so the soul is what's ruling. The natural man is world conscious. He's not God conscious. He is described by God as dead. He is born of the flesh and he's ruled by his flesh. His core is self. And he is self-centered. Now, the carnal Christian, you know what I want you to do? I want you to look down at spiritual man first. We'll come back to carnal Christian. The spiritual man is born again. This is where God wants us to be. He is spiritually minded. He is controlled by God. In other words, he feeds his spirit by renewing his mind in the Word of God. He has a life. Now, this is where I want you to let the Spirit of the Lord speak to your heart, to evaluate. Am I a spiritual man? Am I a spiritual woman? He has a life of habitual victory. Would you say that your life is a life of habitual victory in the Spirit? He has a life of consistent growth in Christ. He has a life of separation from the world. He has a life of winsome holiness. There's something about him that the holiness, but it's a beautiful thing. He has a lifestyle of being led by the Spirit of God. See, that's the lowest plane, the natural man that's not born again. The highest plane is what God designed for Adam, is to be led by the Spirit and have a life of victory. Now, almost all believers, or all believers, go through processes in their life, but so many Christians get stuck in between the two in what we call the carnal Christian. And this is actually a soulish believer. Now, I don't want to confuse you, but that word natural man, the Bible speaks of the natural man, that is actually in the Greek the word soulish. He's led by his soul. But then when we get to a carnal Christian, it's a Christian who has been born again, but they are still acting like a natural man half the time. At least they're also led by their soul. So look at carnal Christian. This is the dilemma, church. This is where you find yourself so often. He's born again, but he's carnally minded and he's controlled by his flesh. See if we fall into these categories. His life is constant conflict between God's will and his own. He has a life of repeated defeat as a result of resolutions made in the flesh. Deciding with his mind to follow God, but not really have a yielded spirit, yielded heart. He's a perpetual baby. He never grows up. Paul speaks of this. You can look this up later with the verse. A life of barrenness. No fruit. He may be born again, but he's not bearing any fruit. Adulterous infidelity. That means that he's joined to Jesus in his spirit, but he's joined to the world. He's living in the world, and God calls that adultery against God. It's a life of dishonoring hypocrisy. All talk and no walk. So there you have three planes that you can live on. And my desire for all of us is that we are spiritual men and women. And that means, so what's going to happen? You look at your diagram up there and you see where these things are in relation to who you are. Are you led by your emotions? I think that this, and I have this a little later, but we're going to have to end up in just a moment. That I think that this is where so many Christians confuse their Christianity. They think that they have an emotion and it's God. Or then they have an emotion and God has left them. They have a feeling and it's the presence of God. And then they have a feeling and they don't know what it is. Or then they have a feeling and they're depressed and they think that they can't hear God and they don't know God. And then they doubt they're even born again. All of that, brothers and sisters, is soul. It's soulish. And it's like the natural man. We don't want to be like the natural man who's not saved, do we? God didn't, let me tell you something, God didn't ordain for us to choose between these three. I mean, it's not His will that we say, oh, of course it's not His will that we be a natural man and not be born again. He desires for all to come to repentance, the Bible says. And it's really a fine line when we say that we can be a Christian and yet be carnal, because we find this in the Word of God, and yet God is harsh on this, because in the Bible we don't have this thing about where we come to Jesus and accept Him as Savior and then maybe later we make Him Lord. No, He is Lord or He's nothing. But we do grow in allowing His Lordship to rule in our lives. And so we're defeated when we're led by our soul area. On page 16, now, I don't want to go to that yet. I want to finish up with this, and we won't go to that till next week. Let's just dwell on the soul for a moment. This makes us kind of uncomfortable, and yet it explains who we are, and it helps us to understand spiritual realities that maybe we've not understood before. Some of the manifestations of the soul life, we could talk about these all night, because I dare to say that 90% or 80% of the behavior we see exhibited in the average congregation, in the life of the average Christian, is soul life. That's a shame. Soulish. And then notice that I drew these three circles with the soul being inflated. It's the way we were before we were born again. And God's will is that when we're born again, the Spirit, that should be the big circle inside of us, and the soul should be being pressed as it comes in alignment. Actually, as the soul is kind of swallowed in the Spirit, if you will. But a dominant soul, and when you understand this, and I don't mean that you do this with an arrogance, and you don't do it with a judgmental attitude, but the Spirit of God will quicken this in you, in yourself and in others. You'll begin to recognize soulish behavior. Because, let's just... I didn't plan on, I don't have a list here, okay, but there are people that it's more extreme in than others, and yet it doesn't mean that it's worse in one person than someone else. Soul is soul. What do I mean by that? I mean that there are some people that they walk in the room and all you sense is, once you understand this, it's soul. It's their personality, them pushing their way, it's their decisions, they've decided this, it's my will, and they may be Christian, they may be espousing the things of God, but they're pushing their way, and they're doing what they have decided, and it can manifest itself so many different ways. People who are manipulative, and we all know people who manipulate with their emotions. And or maybe people who tell one person part of the story and tell another person another part of the story in order to make things the way that, in order to work circumstances. Maybe they're not truly truthful and they're not walking as a spiritual man or woman, and they're giving in to emotions and their thoughts and their will, and they're trying to fix things and work things, and it's all soul, church. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not being led by the Spirit of God. There are four areas here under dominant soul. The first one is natural strength. It's thinking that you can do the will of God or anything else as a Christian, that you can live this life through natural strength, that you can do it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you can't do it. If you could do it, you would not have needed for Christ to come and dwell within your spirit, which had been cut off from God, and cause it to be born again and to make it a new creation in Christ. And to flow out of that into the rest of your being and to begin to change your soul. You cannot accomplish the things of God through soul life. Natural strength. Self-conceit. Now, none of us think that we are these things. But being hard and unyielding, especially towards God. That God deals with us and we just keep resisting and keep resisting. That's soul. That's not a spiritual man or woman of God. Self-styled wisdom. And it comes from mentally thinking these things through and we decide what's wise and we determine philosophies and especially sometimes Christians are attracted to other philosophies and they try to mix it. Well, that's all soulish and it's not the Spirit of God and it's not based upon the Word of God. But I think that the biggest one, I really think that the biggest one is number four there, is emotional sensation sought in spiritual experiences. Now, let me be clear on this. Am I saying that as a believer, you want to be, we believe in being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we will come back to that in a later session, but this will lay the groundwork that you understand that when you receive Christ and you're born again, His Spirit is within you, isn't it? Isn't He? I should say, not it. He is within you. He's within your spirit. To be baptized with the Holy Spirit, to yield to being filled and baptized, is to yield your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions to total obedience to God and ask Him to fill you to overflowing so that everything is saturated with the Spirit, not just your spirit man, but so that your soul, your mind is flooded with the Spirit of God. Your will is led. I want you to look here. I put mind, will, and emotions. Well, no, let me finish the other. Emotional sensation sought in spiritual experiences. Let me just, if we don't do anything else to finish this up tonight, this is so important. When you think, this is what happens. I want to describe something to you. A person gets born again, or they get filled with the Spirit, or they have an encounter with God. And it so moves them that they feel it all over. Praise God. That can happen. That's not against God, you understand. I'm not saying that you don't ever feel an overflow from your spirit, that there aren't feelings associated with being in the presence of God or having an experience with God. But Christians have an experience with God and they are so moved, they have goosebumps. Well, how many of you have had goosebumps in a stadium filled with people or a school or a ballpark or whatever and some group is singing the national anthem or Star Spangled Banner or whatever it may be, and it sends goosebumps all over your body, and it wasn't necessarily a Christian group singing. It wasn't necessarily the Spirit of God. It was your emotions. It was your soulish life. Well, things that touch us deeply in our soul cause feelings. That's where our emotions reside. And so Christians get on fire for God. They get saved. It's a mountaintop. Sin has been taken away. It's like their life has been radically changed, and it has, and they're on fire, and they feel it. And then when they begin to find that they have to walk something out by the Spirit, and their emotions aren't feeling it, or their body's not feeling it, then they can't walk the walk. They make commitments to do things in the kingdom of God. They feel that the Spirit of God has spoken to them and said, I want you to be in youth ministry. I want you to be in children's ministry. I want you to be on the praise team. Or I want you to do this, that, what, the other, whatever it may be. They're so filled with God and they're so excited. And then they begin to do this thing. And what happens in churches that feed on this, because a lot of individuals feed on it, but some churches feed on it, is that people begin to get the idea, and it's even taught, that if you're not feeling something, that God didn't show up. And you can't do anything if God didn't show up. Because nobody experienced something in their emotions or in their feelings. And I'm telling you that it's a great tragedy. And it causes people to not be able to walk the walk. And I'll say it again. It creates Christians who can't even lift a finger to do anything for God unless they're feeling it first. Can't lift a finger to do something for God unless they're feeling it. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The will, if you're making notes, write this down. The will is the rudder of the ship. Even though spiritual realities come from your spirit, God gave you a will in your soul. And that will He gave you, He only created it with one thing in mind, is to will the will of God. Your will was not given to you for you to will something that you decide. It was not given for you to will something that you calculated with your mind, or that you figured out, or that you thought was a good idea, or a good plan. Your will was given to you for one thing and one thing only. To will, now listen, look up here. You want it in your spirit. You want it to come from your spirit. The rudder of the ship that moves the whole thing is when your will wills the will of God according to the living Word of God. The Spirit of Christ speaks through His Word, and you live according to His Word, and it's the rudder that steers the ship. If you don't will to will the will of God, then when your emotions are going crazy, you won't follow through on commitments, and you won't live a Spirit-filled life. You will flounder, and you will fall by the wayside, and it'll be calamity everywhere that you turn, because you're led by your emotions and not by the will lining up with the will of God. Am I wearing you out with this? Don't sound sure. We're almost through. The mind, listen, the mind, the intellect. Some people aren't emotional, and we think, well, maybe they're not. Maybe they're more spiritual because they're not emotional, and they're not led by their emotions. Let me tell you, you can be so led by your intellect and by your mind, rather than the renewed mind by the Spirit. You can be led by your calculations and your thinking and your planning and your working things out in your mind. You can be so smart in your thinking, and you can be cool, calm, and collected, and you can present yourself as doing the will of God. And if it's all coming out of this up here and not out of the Spirit of God speaking revelation into your spirit by the Word of God, then you're just as carnal and just as soulish as the person who's falling down on the floor having an emotional fit because God touched them today, and on the floor crying tomorrow because He left. You're just the opposite. Cool, calm, and collected in the Spirit of God can't move you to do anything because you calculated and you figured and you learned the doctrine. Praise God for doctrine. You studied all the facts, but God can't touch your spirit and move you into obedience. Typical manifestations are that the person who is mind or intellect dominated is interested in doctrine for the sake of doctrine only, for argument, for the sake of being right, but is not interested in yielding to the Spirit of God and having a revelation of Christ to their heart. No desire for Spirit to speak to Spirit and to be led by God in a walk of obedience and death to self. The person whose will is so dominant asserts himself, has a great ego, and is always pushing for their own way. And the thing that, see, this is what makes it so deceptive for us if we don't understand this. The person who is maybe not the emotional one, but is willing to do his own will. Look at this, and I promise I'm almost through, but you got to understand this. You can will to go out and evangelize every day. You can will to feed the poor. You can will to go out and help those who are needy. You can will to do all of these things. And if God hasn't spoken it to your heart by the Word of God, you're doing your own will. You can do many, many good things and it not be God's will for your life. And your soul can be dominant rather than the Spirit. And then again, as I said, the emotions. The person who is emotional habitually craves their emotions being fed. They want their emotions to... If it's in their experience with God, they've got to have an experience in prayer. If they're not having an experience in prayer or an experience in worship that they can feel, then they can't function as a Christian. They don't think that God's doing anything in their life. And they crave these sensations. No goosebumps, God didn't show up. Now, again, the Spirit-led man or woman of God also has emotional experiences and may feel the presence of God. But this is the bottom line. Everybody listening? Their life and their walk with God is not contingent upon it. They have feelings when God so desires to let them have feelings, but their walk with God and their life in the Spirit does not depend upon their feelings. They set the course. They set the rudder of the ship and they say, my will is to do the will of God and He will supply the strength that's needed. And they search the Word of God and they say, God, what is Your will for my life? And everything God shows them, they yield on it. They yield on it. Spirit speaks to Spirit and then it overflows and their mind is renewed. Their lives are changed and there's a metamorphosis. Now I'm telling you, there's some of you in here tonight. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm saying for all of us. But there's some in here tonight that can, if you will give yourself to that, to study that, to understand what we've talked about this week and last week, let your mind be renewed in the Word of God. But don't just sit back and say, well, God's got to do it for me. No, you have to cooperate. You have to study to show yourself an approved workman. You have to ask God to minister it to your spirit. You have to listen to Him and you have to obey. And you have to set your will to do His will and determine that you're going to do it whether you feel like it or not. It's amazing how many Christians go to work and do what their employers ask them to do every day, even with a fairly good attitude. But when it comes to doing the things of God, if they don't feel like it, if their emotions aren't right, or they're depressed or whatever, they can't serve God. And therefore, your employer becomes an idol. Your employer has a higher place on the throne of your life than God. Do the will of God. Do the will of God. Be able to let the Spirit of God rule through your redeemed spirit that you'd be a spiritual man or woman of God. Amen? Lord, I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You, Lord, that You reveal these things to us that we may walk in what we are learning. And I pray that You do a supernatural work in the lives of each one gathered here tonight. Lord, divide soul and spirit. Discern, give discernment of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Lord. Divide soul and spirit. I pray it over this group of believers. Divide soul and spirit. Lord, that when we come together and when we go out, we will live as spiritual men and women of God, not as carnal, soulish believers, led by emotions and by winds of circumstance and every other thing. Lord, divide soul and spirit. Lord, tomorrow in the workplaces, as things happen and as different ones react different ways, speak to their spirit and say, that's your soul. Get it to line up with my word. Show the thoughts and intents of the heart that we might be spiritual men and women of God, spirit speaking to spirit. Lord, I love You and I thank You for this day. I thank You for these who are so faithful and I pray that You bless their socks off, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.